Hello, I'm Mike Salem. With your prayers and support, we at the Christian Worship Hour are blessed to continue to broadcast my dad, Pastor Salem's messages proclaiming the Word of God. We enjoy reading all your letters and notes to us. Recently, we received one from Oregon and it reads, "I love your program," which I recently found on TV. "I am almost 78 years old and widowed. Thank you for your comforting words and encouragement given in his messages. I eagerly look forward to your next program. I feel richly blessed by your broadcast." Today's message entitled, "Lord, Teach Us to Pray," walks us through the beautiful model that Jesus gave us to pray. May it give you hope and assurance. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And it just seems like the weeks go by so rapidly, and here it is, another one gone. And one of these weeks, the sound of the trumpet's going to be heard, and Jesus is going to come again. And the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord and all of our loved ones who've gone on before. Oh, my goodness, that's going to be some trumpet sound, and it's going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. Now, today we're going to be talking about, Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And so we're going to see what he has to say about prayer. And I know you're all interested in that, so be sure to tune in. Maybe you can call your friends and they can join us. But let's look at Psalm chapter 8 in the first four verses where the psalmist says, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Lord, we ask that so quite many times. What is man that thou art mindful of him? When you've made all of creation, we can't even see the end of creation. Even with the great telescopes that men have, they can't see the end of all of your creation. And what is one man, one little man? And yet you're mindful of every one of us. And you love us, and you know our feelings, and you know where we're at. Some of us have troubles and trials. Some of our great joys. Some of our sorrow. You know all about us when we put our faith in you. So we thank you for being such a wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jan has a song you're going to love. My faith has found a resting place. And God bless you, Jan. Well, thank you, Jan. Isn't that a wonderful message? And that's the message of hope and assurance. We have a resting place. You won't find any in this world, I'll tell you that. But you find them at the foot of Jesus. And you can go there. There's a refuge. He's a rock and a refuge. Oh, thank God for the Savior. We want to thank you for the letters. We're going to share some of them. And by the way, before we do, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, and I know some of you do, you gather there and you get ready. Matthew chapter 6. We'll get there in just a little bit. For our letters, we just thank you so much for writing. And get your pencil and paper, because a little bit later now I'm going to give the address. And we just love to hear from you, and especially whether you're a shortwave radio or a TV, we're all over the world, all parts of the world. And we just thank you for your letters, and we'll answer. If you have a spiritual question, we'll try to answer it for you. So God bless you. Well, our first letter is from Greenville, South Carolina. And they write, I greatly enjoy the sermons every Saturday night on TV. They are a great help to me, and I appreciate that you preach the truth and make no apologies for it. So many preachers today want to distort the truth or completely cut it out. Thank you again for preaching the truth on the Word of God. And there are many pastors that do preach the Word, and there's many of them skip it around, and they add it around, they get into politics, and they do everything under the sun but preach the Word of God. And people are saying, is there any word from God? We heard the politicians. Lord, have mercy on those politicians. And we need, does God have anything to say? And you just turn to the Christian worship hour, and that's all we're going to talk about is the Bible, that holy, wonderful Word of God. Well, here's one, Kansas City, Missouri. I consider you my church. I'm homebound. Can't attend the church where I served and taught many years, but I attend your church every Sunday. Your services are my day brightener. I also pray for you. I want your ministry to continue until Jesus comes. I have a small Social Security income. What I give is truly a widow's mite. I'm 89 years of age and watch you on Channel 62. My husband was wounded in World War II. Now here's a dear soul, and she's been active in her church all these years, but the time comes when she can't get around. I know I have to get around with a walker, and you just can't go everywhere with a walker, and then you're not too sure of yourself, and you sure don't want to fall down, and so it makes it hard. And so now this can be her church, and she can worship. Now if you can go to church, you ought to go to church where they preach the Bible. And if you can't, then just have your own worship service. Maybe you have some friends come in for the worship service or have a little Bible study, something like that. But be active in the Bible, looking in the Bible. Here's Hondo, Texas. We live on a ranch and not much income. We all love our Lord Jesus. We love pastor and the singers. God bless you and thank you for all the mail letters we receive. I love you so much. Isn't that nice? I love you so much. And that's Christian love. Now, here's some people, we never met them. They never met me. And we're not going to see them until we get to glory. But we love each other because we're in Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And even though we haven't even met each other, never seen each other, there's a love there. You say, I don't understand that. Well, it's because it's spiritual. You can't see it with the mortal eyes. You have to experience it. And you do that by having Christ as your Savior. That's a first step, and it'll open your spiritual eyes. We'll talk about that more a little bit later in the service. Here's one from Cape Canaveral, Florida. Thank you so much for your wonderful services every Sunday. I look forward to it so very much. We'll continue your service to the world, and may God always hold you in the palm of his hand. Thank you. Isn't that nice? He'll hold us in the palm of his hand. You know what? When you accept Jesus Christ, he holds you. We don't hold him. And when we accept Jesus Christ, he'll hold us all the way to heaven, and you'll never lose your salvation. We have a little booklet that we put out. Can a person, Christian, lose their salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. You can't lose your salvation if you're born again. Once saved, always saved. I'm going to give the address right now so you can jot it down. And you write and you send us a gift, if you can. It's about, I don't know, 10, 12 pages long. And it's on all scriptures, not guessing or surmising or anything. All Bible. And it'll tell you how once you've accepted Jesus, you're forever saved. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'd be glad to send you this little booklet. And I know it'll bring comfort and strength and help to you. Now, here's a letter we received from Cranbourne, Australia. And they write and tell of how they get us on ACC TV and Daystar. And they appreciate the service so much. And they're asking that we pray for the health of their family. And we always answer these international letters. We'll answer every one of them. And we'll send literature. We sent some literature to this dear person. We prayed for this family already. And isn't that wonderful that way off there in Australia, they're worshiping with us all over the world. We're worshiping around the throne of God. Isn't that a miracle how that all over the world, this globe, we are all centered at the feet of Jesus in heaven, around the throne of God. Oh, my gracious. And someday we're going to see it. We're going to be there. Now, here's one from San Ramon, California. Oh, look, listen to this one. To my friends of the Christian Worship Hour, I better get this in the mail. You have not because you ask not. Then he says, one George Washington coming up. Send a dollar bill. Well, that's a new way. Just send them on. Yep. And you say it isn't. It's just a dollar. But I'm going to tell you, it all adds up. All counts up. So we just, send George Washington or anybody else. Send them up. And we'll use them to preach the gospel, get the word of the God out to the world. God bless you. Oh, now here, listen to this one. Ocala, Florida. And this is from a man who was a Marine in the Marines. He said, bleeding out in the jungle of Vietnam, 1969, this old Marine asked God not to allow him to die. Next morning, they found me alive. 6 months in hospitals, I was released. Praise God for his mercy. I think to me, Galatians 2:20 says it best, waiting for Christ to return. And first of all, we want to thank all of those who serve in the services of our country and any country where there's protecting the government and serving for the government. We pray for these people. And some of them pay such a great price. We owe them so much. And he says that he likes Galatians 2, verse 20. So this is Galatians 2, verse 20. And this is what it says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And what he's simply saying is that he died with Christ on the cross, and he was raised with Christ when Christ was raised. And Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, seated there, and we are seated in Christ. And so, by faith, we become the children of God. And all that's what you've got to do. You have to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And here's a man lying out in Vietnam, out in the jungles, bleeding and dying. And he prays to his God to save his life. And God spared his life. And now he's serving the Lord. He's witnessing for Christ and living for Christ. That's what it's all about. And all of us need Jesus. Let me give you one more letter. If this doesn't thrill your soul, then you're beyond hope. I can tell you that. My name is Curtis. I am an inmate in the Missouri Department of Corrections. I watched your show last Sunday, and after watching, I gave myself to the Lord. The reason I'm writing is because I'd like to receive a Bible. They have Bibles I can check out in the chapel library, but I'd like to receive any Bible study course you may have. Thank you, and God bless you. Now, here's a young man who listened to the gospel, and at the end of the service, gave himself to Jesus. Now, the first thing I want to tell you is this. Without your prayers and your gifts, this never would have happened, because there isn't any possible way we can meet any of these expenses. Over $2 million, I guess, I don't know, more than that. And there isn't any way we can do it. There's just no way. And so you have to help us. And so all over the world, you help us. You pray and you give. And here's a man born again. He's in this department of corrections. And he's heard the message, and the Holy Spirit talked to his heart, and he opened his heart to Jesus, and this young man is born again. Now, we've already sent him a Bible, and we sent him literature, and we're praying like everything for him. And are we ever praising God and rejoicing? Because a Savior came to this man, and he opened his heart to the Lord. Now, that's what we're all about. It's the Christian worship hour. Let me give you our address, because we have to hear from you. You got to pray for us. You got to help us financially. Or we can't keep doing this. But when that young man prayed to accept Jesus, you had a part in it, a very vital part in it. And in eternity, you're going to see him. He's going to thank you. Oh, my God. That's the most wonderful thing in the whole world, is hear people coming to Jesus. And I know that this is happening all over the world. Thousands of people are turning to Jesus. I just believe that. And it's because you stand by and you help us. And we have our workers here. They're coming here. Some, most of them not paid a penny. Not a penny. And some that we have to pay, the technicians and so forth. But they're coming. They're serving you. And the musicians, no pay. And they're doing because they love you. They've done that for years. Some of them have been with us as long as we've been on, I think, over 38 years. And so you have a part. We have a part. We all have a part. We can't do it alone. We need each other. So you need to help us. So you write to Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift, you can send it anywhere in the world. You can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And on there, they'll say donate. And you just punch donate and it'll be PayPal. And you can send us a gift and we'll get it in American money and we can pay the bills. And we've got them from all parts of the world. And you can have a part in helping us. Be little or be big, it doesn't make a bit of difference. It all adds up. And I know what you're thinking. Well, what'll they do with that money? I know they'll put it in their pocket and they'll get a big car and they probably got a airplane and all of the rest. Well, we don't have an airplane. We got a car. It runs and, downhill. And we just get along just fine. But we're a part of an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international concern that just checks finances. And they check us inside and out. There's nothing they don't know. There's only one thing they don't know about the Christian Worship Hour, and that is that I got a bunion on my left foot. That's the only thing they don't know. And they check all of our receipts. They see that we account for every penny. They do all of the, check all our bookwork, and then they see where we spend the money. And they watch that this money is spent exactly where we say. So you can help us. You just pray about it, and God will show you. He'll tell you, and it'll be well spent. It'll be used. Now, over 90% is used for television and radio time. So now Jan is going to play, and I'm going to pray. And then you ask God what to do, and you help us. Because if you want this to go on and continue, we have to have your help. So, dear Lord, thank you for all you supply, supplying our needs. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you as we worship the Lord and she ministers to us in music. Well, we're reading from Matthew chapter 6 today. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at the 5th verse. And as you know, every week we pray for another country where our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering for their faith. And so we're going to pray for Zaire today as we have our prayer. But first of all, let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And Jesus is giving us these words. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, but for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful model prayer that you've given us in these scriptures, that you've given us instructions how to pray. And we, like the disciples, we're also saying, teach us to pray, Lord, because we want to be people of prayer. And we know that we can never be as we should be unless we do pray, unless we come to you regularly and read your word, read the Bible, and have our time of our prayers. And so we just pray that in this message today, we'll see what you mean by prayer, and that we'll get the idea of how we ought to pray, and we'll be encouraged to pray, and that you'll be pleased with our spiritual growth. Dear Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Zaire today. And we know that, Lord, some of them have given their life, had to pay for their life. And oh, what a hard time that must be. And yet they were faithful, Lord, and they will not deny you. And they will say, "Jesus is Lord," in their language, whatever their language might be. "Jesus is Lord." They won't back down, and they won't turn tail like Peter did when he denied you, and like maybe I probably would. But they'll be strong, Lord, and they've died for you. And so we thank you for them, because now they're in glory. And they're in your presence, and they're an example to us, and a challenge, and a help to us, that we'd not deny the faith either, but stand true to it, even if it calls us our life. But, oh Lord, we pray for those that are left behind, the mothers, the wives, the little children, oh, the little left families and the loved ones. What great sorrow, but that sorrow is only will endure for an even, for a night. The morning will come when there's going to be rejoicing around the throne of God. And we'll never regret that we suffered a day for you. And so encourage them and help them to know that all over the world, we're praying for Zaire. The Christians, the brothers and sisters, the family of God in Zaire, we're praying for them. Encourage their heart. Now bless us in this service, though all we do and say may honor Jesus, because we prayed in his name. Amen. Hank is going to sing, and he's got a beautiful song, "Make Me Holy for You." And God bless you, Hank.
May this life that I live be a present to give to you, Lord. May the works that I do always be accepted by you. May the days I have left, may I hide in the cleft of the rock of ages, I pray, until my life is through. Make me holy for you. Make me holy for you. And teach me how to pray. Holy for you, so others can see the way. May the days I have left, may I hide in the cleft of the rock of ages, I pray, until my life is through. Make me holy for you. Make me holy for you. And teach me how to pray. So others can see the way. May the days I have left, may I hide in the cleft of the rock of ages, I pray, until my life is through. Make me holy for you. Until my life is through, make me holy for you.
Well, Hank, thank you and God bless you. And you know, that's what the disciples did. We're told in Luke 11, verse 1, that one of his disciples said unto him, Jesus, unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. So they asked him, Lord, we want to pray. John the Baptist taught his people how to pray. So they said, teach us to pray. And in response, Jesus gave them a model. And he gave them in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11, and probably took two different occasions. But he tells them about the manner of prayer. And so Jesus gives them a pattern or a model or a little pattern to follow to pray for him, to pray to him. Now, of course, Jesus didn't pray this prayer, because we know that, because in Luke's account, Jesus teaches them, and forgive us our sins. Now, Jesus didn't have sins, so he's not praying this prayer. He's telling them this is the model to follow, because it's a blasphemy to say that Jesus is asking forgiveness of sins, and yet that's part in Luke. It says, Luke 11, verse 4, forgive us our sins. And so he's teaching these disciples a model here. If you want to know, hear Jesus pray, if you want to hear one of Jesus' prayers, you can go to John chapter 17. And there's a chapter where Jesus is actually praying the words that he prays to the Heavenly Father. Philip Melanchthon, one of the church's reformers and a contemporary of Martin Luther, writes about this 17th chapter of John, and they say, there is no voice which has ever been heard, either in heaven or in earth, more exalted, more holy, more fruitful, more sublime than the prayer offered us by the Son of God himself. And so what we call the Lord's Prayer is really a model prayer for his disciples. And you'll notice, too, that in Luke's model, it takes three verses. But in John chapter 17, where Jesus is actually praying to the Father in heaven, takes 26 verses. And so we're going to look at the model. And on the model, he starts out by saying, Our Father. And so here we are taught the approach to God Almighty, and it calls him Our Father. Now there, God is, we say, well, God's a father and we're all of his children. No, that is not true. God is the creator and all the people are his creation. But as far as children is concerned, he told the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. And Jesus, and God tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not the children of God till you receive Jesus. See? And so when we say that all the people are the children of God, that's not true. He's only the father of those who receive Jesus. We're not his children. John chapter 1, verse 12. And so we become a part of that body of Christ when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that's why we keep saying that over and over and over. You've got to make that prayer where you personally accept Jesus Christ into your life. I can't do it for you, and your wife can't do it for you. And I usually say wife, because usually it's the husband that's sitting there, and he won't move. He's just sitting there. And the wife comes, she opens her heart to Jesus, and the husband, he sits there. And so your wife would do it for you. You would do it for your children. Some of your children would do it for your parents. But it's one of those personal things that only I can do and only you can do. And it determines where your soul is going to be. It's going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. You're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And you're never a child of God till you receive him. John 1, verse 12. Then there are other verses too. You must be born again, Jesus said. What does he mean by that in John chapter 3? You must be born again. Well, it simply means there must be a time when you open your heart to Jesus and you're born again. That's what born again means. You receive Christ and you become a new creation, born a new creation. And so then once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then we can come along and we can talk about the Father. And the word Father here is used in many means. It means a lot of things. It means the love of the Father. A good Father on earth loves his children. He demonstrates that love in action. So God demonstrated his love toward us in that he gave his Son. And his Son showed his love for us in that he came to this world, born of the Virgin Mary, so he'd have a human body. He's God and he's man. He's unique. There never was one like him. Never will be another one like him. And so he goes to the cross and he pays for our sins because he loves us. It talks about the tender care of a father and how that he watches over us and he helps us. And some of you are going through some hard times today. Maybe you just lost a loved one. We get letters almost every week. I think probably every week. Somebody lost a spouse or a child or a parent. And it's a hard time. It's a grieving time. And here's a tender heavenly father. He knows all about it. He lost his son on a cross. He knows. And I'm going to tell you, it cost him more than ever. We love on a finite level. God Almighty loves on an infinite level. You can't imagine the love of God because he's infinite. We're finite beings. Someday we'll understand it. And won't that be a glorious day? It talks about the wisdom of the Father and how that he watches over us and cares for us and guides us. Talks about the power of the Father in heaven and how he is strong and able to take care of us. And so this is starts is, and it talks about Father. God is Father. And then it talks about our Father. And so this Father then becomes, it becomes a family. And this wonderful family, where we have a heavenly Father and we are the children and that wonderful family. He cares for us and he's that wonderful Father who cares and loves, and all of us remember that he's our Father together. So we are one family. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are to love one another and care for one another and help one another and be. It talks about the household of God, and that's what it is where we accept Jesus. We're born into the family of God. And so he becomes our Father. And it says, which art in heaven. Now this should be translated, our Father which art in the heavens. Our Father which art in the heavens. Because there are at least three heavens in the Bible, in the New Testament. There is the birds of the heaven, and that's the atmosphere circling the earth. And the birds fly in that atmosphere. And then we have the wonders in the heaven, and that's the stellar spaces where we have the stars and the moon and the planets. The birds don't fly up there. And the planets don't come among the birds. It's a different heaven. And then the third heaven, we're told about St. Paul. And he says he was caught up even to the third heaven. And that's the abode of God. And so this wonderful abode of God, you think of it away out yonder. And we call that the transcendence of God. And it means you can't get beyond God's consciousness. You can't get beyond God's care and keeping. The transcendence of God is he is in the first and the second and the third heavens, and maybe there are 100 other heavens, and he's there, the transcendence of God. But there's also the immanence of God. And you know what that means? That means he is everywhere. And he's with us. He, for instance, he is right here with us in South Dakota, as well as he is as close to those in Zaire. We just prayed for our brothers and sisters in Zaire. We call it the immanence of God. He is every. The psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You made all of this creation, and how can you see one man? God says, I can see one man. I can see one person. I even count the hairs of your head. They're numbered. It doesn't mean that he knows how many there are, but when you lose one hair, you lose a number. You think that's hard to understand? In the scriptures, we're told that God gives the stars a name. Every star has a name. How can that be? Because God. And don't get snoopy about it and want to know how that could be. You're not God, and you won't understand God until you get there. We're finite beings, and we can't comprehend a God any more than a worm going down the street can understand that old fisherman looking for a worm. He can't tell any more about that fisherman than the man in the moon. And so what we have to think about is this wonderful Father in heaven. Oh, he is there, and he's our Father to care for us. And then it starts the petition. And the first petition is, hallowed be thy name. And that simply means that we ought to be holy with God. The seraphim, the angelic beings are in heaven, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy. All of the time they sing this, holy, holy. And you and I ought to be, love God and trust him, but we ought to realize the holiness of God, and we ought to fear him and his reverent and reverence him. And then he goes on, the second petition, thy kingdom come. And in a very, very real sense, we're praying in our hearts that we may become the kingdom of God. That is, when we accept Jesus Christ, we're becoming a part of that kingdom, and it dwells within us. And thy kingdom come, it's going to come, and it's on the way now. And one of these days, like John, he was on the Isle of Patmos, and this John heard this great silver trumpet and shouts to the ends of the earth that all may know beyond the shadow of a doubt. And this is what he knows. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11, verse 15, he's King of kings and he the Lord of lords. Oh, and so we pray, thy kingdom come. And then he goes on in the third petition, he says, thy will be done. And here we have the deepest and holiest part of the prayers, because here's the hardest part of the prayer to pray. It's easy to pray that he'll bless us and give us food and he'll do all of these other things, but it's hard to pray, thy will be done, because maybe we don't want his will done. Maybe we're not submissive to him, but when we pray this, we pray, not my will, but thine be done. May his blessed will be done by us as we walk before him in the path of obedience. And may we do it young or old, for the very day you start out until you come to your 90s like I am, 94, and hanging on, just pray that God's will might be done. And so many times we go to God's prayer, we pray to God and we're asking him for things. We've already got our mind made up. We got this little skinny little thing and you want to marry her. And you know you shouldn't because she's not a Christian. And you got your mind made up and you're praying and you got your mind all made up. And it doesn't mean anything. It's like the couple I read about. And they fought all the time. And they just fought over everything. And finally it got to the point, one day his wife told her husband, she says, you know what? We're just fussing all the time, fighting all the time. Why don't we ask God to take one of us to heaven and then I'll go and live with my sister? See, that's the way we pray. And when we pray, we have to say, whatever you want, dear Lord. If you want me to give away half of my, give money to the kingdom. If you want me to give all that I have to the kingdom, I am willing to do it. If you want me to give my whole life to you, I'll do it. If you may be like those people in Zaire and some of those countries where they say, you deny Christ or you give me your head. And they'll say, take my head. I want God's will to be done. And if he allows it to be done, good and well, the sooner the better. That's what we have to pray. That's what Jesus did. Look at him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he sweats as his word, great drops of blood. And he was doing that not because he was afraid to die, because he wasn't afraid to die, but he knew he was going to take in himself all the sins, the filthy sins of the world, that holy, pure body of Christ. He's going to take into his heart and his soul the sins of the world, and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he says, if it is possible, O Father, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if it's possible that we can get around this and not do this, all right. But then he said, but if not, but as thou wilt, thy will be done. And he took the cup and he drank it all. And that's how you and I have to pray. And we pray it cheerfully and happily and joyfully, because I'm going to tell you, dear friends, we're going to come to the time when we're going to have to make those decisions. That's going to be God or us. And it better be God's will. That's what Jesus is teaching us. And that's why we ought to do it. And we ought to do it right here, but right here on earth. On earth, he says, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that simply means that all of our, everything we have is in heaven. We are on earth, but our treasures are in heaven. Our Father is in heaven. Our loved ones are in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our hearts are in heaven. Our high calling is in heaven. Our treasure should be in heaven. And so we want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, because we're already in heaven. We're seated in Christ in the heavenlies. Oh my God, it is so beautiful and so wonderful. And then he goes to the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer of faith and trustfulness, and it's a prayer of contentment. And when he gives us bread and water, we can live on bread and water. That's all we have to have. And so we just come to him and give ourselves to him. And now let me tell you something else, my friend. Every meal we eat, we ought to pray and thank God for it. And if you're in the restaurant and you're eating, you bow that big head of yours. And don't just whisper it under your breath while you take a cup of coffee. Bow your head and go on record as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, Buster. If it wasn't for the goodness and the goodness and the kindness of God, you wouldn't have one crumb to eat. If God took the sun out of the sky, I read in one place, if he took the sun out of the sky, within 6 months, the whole world would die of starvation. Or 6 weeks, the whole world would die in starvation. And so you thank him for the daily bread. I remember one little boy, and he's visited with the neighbors. When he came back, they said, did they say their prayer? And he says, no, Dad. He says, they're just like our pigs. They just went and ate. See? And so say your prayers, our daily bread. And you trust him and don't be looking for a whole bakery. You know, you have to have everything. Just take enough. And like St. Paul, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Then we come to the fifth petition. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who debt against us. See, for instance, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We owe a debt to God. We've all sinned against debts. We've sinned against God. And who's going to pay that debt? We have to pay that debt. And that's so when we come to our senses, we will just come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us for our sins. And we'll walk with Him. And that's what you ought to do. If you've never accepted Jesus, don't be so proud and high-minded and think you're such a hot shot and you're so good. You're nothing but filthy rags in God's sight. That's what God says. All your works are as filthy rags. And so you come to Jesus. Do like the prodigal son did. He saw what a mess he was in. And he turned his back on it and he left the pig pen. And he left the place of sin. And he went to the Father and he repented. And what did the Father do? He received him. Now that tells us two things. It tells us, first of all, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, you come to Jesus Christ right now. And just pray, dear Heavenly Father, and you put it in your own words, I've sinned against you. And maybe you want to confess some of your sins. You don't need to talk them, but give them out loud. And maybe you want to just get in your closet and name some of your sins. Billy Graham says, maybe you want to name some of your sins. Name them. But you can't name them all. You got too many. I've got too many. And so if something sticks out in your mind, then pray and then ask Him to forgive you for your sins. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you accepted Jesus and you drifted away and you went off like this young man into the sin and he spent all that he had with riotous living, and it says in the scripture, when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, I have a Father, and his servants will live better than this. I'll go to my Father. And would the Father receive him? You know, when he came back, and did the Father say, well, you go get yourself cleaned up. You smell like a pig. Or I've given you all you're going to get. Go back where you came from. Or get on your knees and beg. Well, you know what the Bible says? When he was yet a great way off. That means his old dad been sitting on a porch there looking down that road for all that time. He's looking for that boy. And he looks down the road and his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck. They never do that in the Middle East. The dad never runs to the boy. The boy runs to the dad. But not here. The dad goes to the boy. That's God. And maybe you sinned against light, but you ask Jesus to forgive you. Forgive us our debts. Take away my sins, dear Lord. And when you do that, He'll receive you. Then the sixth petition we have, lead us not into temptation. And that simply means that every one of us can be led into some kind of a sin. And so we ask Him, we just to be sure, don't lead us, but sometimes we lead ourselves. We go to the wrong kind of movies. We read the wrong kind of books. We go to the wrong kind of places. We monkey around with the wrong kind of people. Lead us not into temptation. Don't lead yourself into temptation. And God will help you and He'll direct you. And then the seventh petition, deliver us from evil. And there's evil on every side of us. And as St. John talks about it, and he says, you know, there's going to be evil about us here. There's the evil one, the devil, and he's going to he'll do all the trouble he can from us. And so many times we do things by the kind of a living, and we get ourselves all smirched up in the things of the world. And sometimes we try to be part of the world. And St. John tells us, 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That's our culture, the United States and other countries of the world. The whole world lieth in sin, in wickedness. And so we need to come to God. And then it closes the doxology. And it says, thy kingdom come. Here is the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. His is the power. And then he's going to talk about thine is the power. And he has all power. And he's going to rule and reign. And the governments of this world are going to be on our Lord. And he's going to rule and reign over the whole world. And then he says, and his is the glory, and that wonderful glory of God. Oh, my goodness, it's going to come, and we're going to see him and be amazed. So what do you pray? You know the most important prayer in the whole world? And that is, God, forgive me for my sins, and come into my heart and take away my sins, dear Jesus. That's the first thing you've got to pray. He won't hear any other prayer until you become his child. We know that God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. We hear the prayers of the repentant. And when we ask, dear Jesus, come into my heart, take away my sin, that's the first step. Then you start to pattern your life after this prayer and walk with the Lord and live with the Lord. Now, if you make that prayer, and I know there are multitudes all over the world praying that prayer right now, Jesus, have mercy on my soul and save me. You write to us. We'll write as many as write in. We'll send you literature and we'll pray for you. And then those of you, you've drifted away, you come back to Jesus and they'll be rejoicing at the throne of God because a repentant soul, a sinner has come home. That wandering boy has come home and God will take you in his arms and draw you to his bosom. He loves you. But listen to me, friends. You've got to do it before you die. After death, the judgment is heaven or it's hell, and you decide what to do. So I hope that you'll write to us and get some literature, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. You can get us ChristianWorshipHour.com, and I hope you'll do that, and we're going to pray for you now. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that multitudes will come, be born again. I pray for those who are on beds of sickness and those who are shut in and those who are aged. And you told us, Lord, comfort ye my people. We're doing it the best way we know how, dear God. And just help them to look to you and to lean on you and help them to put all their weight on you and trust you. And Lord, help them to write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Lord. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. We need your help. We need your prayers. So we're going to be looking for your letter. And so now until next week, and what do you know? Maybe the Lord will come before next week. Maybe he'll come yet today, but he's going to come sure as the world. And we're going to see him and we're going to be with him and all of our loved ones. And so we just pray that God will give you a good week, that he'll bring us together next week, the Lord willing. But it's always the Lord willing. It always has to be the Lord's will, not my will, but thine be done. And we're going to be looking for your letters. We're going to be counting on your prayers. And then someday we'll all be together in glory. And won't we have a time around the throne of God? And we'll get to meet you all and see you all and talk to you all. And won't be able to put it into words. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. We think about you. We pray for you every day of the week. We pray sometimes several times a day. You have our love and you have our prayers. But best of all, God loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. In Jesus, amen. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.